Welcome. I hope you guys had the chance to listen to the prior episode where we talked about global ascension. It was actually a two-parter and it was pretty dense, but I feel like the information that was shared is valuable. And, you know, obviously with these episodes and this podcast, our hope is that that information will help you guys on your ascension journey, not dissuade you guys. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about something Allie really has wanted me to talk about, which is why I'm scared of the universe.
Well, she's mentioned it a few times about like hiding in a corner, and I feel like our audience deserves context.
No, absolutely. You know, obviously you guys do deserve context. And I talked a little bit about this in a prior episode that was, oh my gosh, at this point, maybe months ago. It was about soul sabotage. And let's see, that was episode number 7. In that episode, I talk about how it's possible that there are entities and beings, including your own soul, that might want to see you fail on this journey. Again, not trying to dissuade anyone or scare anyone, but my soul story includes a lot of that. It includes a lot of outside influence from entities, some I know, some I don't know, that have attempted to sabotage my journey, make it more difficult, ensure my failure, which is crazy. It is so crazy to think about. Like, it's crazy to think that on this journey of ascension and this journey towards becoming your best and highest, that there are people, particularly in my case, on my spirit team, who do not have my best and highest good. Like, it just blows my freaking mind that anything like this could ever be possible.
I just want to jump in here and say that Tiara's soul story is quite unique. We haven't done research, and we will add it to our channeling list and get back to you, but I don't believe that other souls, I'm sure there are some other souls that have experienced something similar, but I mean, once we've dug into Tiara's soul story, it's just, I can't even put it into words, like what we have discovered, because it's just, I'm speechless over it. Like, I'm flabbergasted. Like, I don't know. Same. I just don't know how to articulate like the amount of heartbreak and sabotage and deception and, I don't know. I guess some would call it a scandal. I think one of my guides called it a scandal. They were like, no, this is like one of the biggest scandals probably known throughout the universe.
Right. Can you imagine? Like, that's crazy. That is so crazy. My mind cannot mind that that my soul journey is one of the biggest scandals in the entire universe. But this might need to be a multiple part series. I don't know, just because I don't know that I can really talk about all of it in this episode. I did give context in not only the soul sabotage episode, but also in the trauma series rejection wound episode. I talk a little bit about my soul history. If you haven't listened to that, please do. As a matter of fact, if you haven't listened to the trauma series, please do, because it is very, very fascinating. And it talked a lot about inner child wounding, how those inner child wounds might be affecting you on your journey. But in the rejection wounds episode, I give more context about my soul story and how it started. And it's really juicy. And it does include a forbidden love. And yes, it does include a forbidden love with a higher being, particularly with an archangel. So if you haven't listened to that, please go, because I'm not going to talk about that here. Well, maybe a little bit, but not that in particular. If you want to know about that, go listen to that episode, and I'll do a Q&A about it later.
In our community.
Yes, in our community. When the community launches, we will do a Q&A about that. So with that as kind of like the setup, first off, this has been a journey of thousands and thousands of years, approximately 7,000 years, that my soul has been attempting to merge my split parts. So for those of you who are not aware, I am a split soul or a twin soul. There are only a handful of us on the planet. It often gets confused with twin flame, but it is quite different. It's not the same thing as twin flame because twin flames have the exact same core soul frequency. My situation is I was once a whole soul that splits into two different aspects, a masculine and a feminine, as a result of trauma, which is a real phenomenon, rare, but does happen. So I have been for thousands of years on this journey towards merging back those split aspects, merging back to become whole again, to become one again. And what we've recently discovered and what I had no idea about and what none of my prior incarnations had any idea about is that the original soul, before she split, ensured in her own ways that merge would never happen by orchestrating sabotage and multiple lineages in which I incarnated, which is insane. And this is all information that we're still trying to piece together and, understand, because at this point, I don't know the depth of it. I just know that it goes very, very far and it's very, very extreme. So when you're in a situation where you're trying to ascend and you're trying to evolve and be better, and all your efforts seem to get you nowhere, you start to question the process, which, I mean, I feel like that's a natural response to something like that, in my opinion, is that when you're trying and nothing's working and all your efforts are failing and you're not getting anywhere and people seem to be wanting to stop you and your guidance isn't really helping, yeah, you start to question this entire process, this entire journey, this entire ascension thing. You question everything. And once I had my awakening, I started putting into motion like what I was being called to do, which was ascend. For the most part, I felt pretty good about the process and I was enjoying some of the new insights I was receiving and some of the downloads and seeing the angel numbers, and just thought it was all really interesting and really intriguing and really started to lean more into my intuition. I actually really enjoyed a lot of that, coming out of my awakening, because I just thought it was a very beautiful process. And when I initially shifted into 4D, 4D felt so different than 3D that I was actually like, oh my gosh, this is really beautiful. Like, I like it here. How do I get more of that? So I did initially set out to ascend and continue that process. Our mission in this incarnation was to merge our split aspects back together, me and my masculine twin soul. And because he's the emotional body, he's able to sense things better than I can. He can sense things. His intuition's stronger. He's more empathic. He also had a whole host of other incredible gifts that just blew my freaking mind. And he always had this sense that something was off, like something's wrong in this process. Something doesn't feel right. It's just something about it that I don't want to be a part of. And I had some of that too, but not like he did. Like for me, it was just like, okay, something is off, but I don't know what it is. And I don't feel it as strongly as you do. So let me just use my logical mental mind to overcome it, which is what I did. Because he doesn't have that mental aspect in the way that I do, he operated strictly on the emotion and completely tuned out of the process. Now, he wasn't always like that. When we initially connected for the first time in this incarnation, that would have been like 2010, 2011. We connected on Xbox through another friend and hit it off right away. Like, he and I were just like oh my God. Like, and he said multiple times, like, I feel like we're this exact same person. And it literally felt like that. Like, we were the exact same freaking person. And we would play video games for hours. We would talk on the phone for like 3-4 hours. It was a really interesting, incredible experience, like initially connecting to my twin soul. So at some point, like, emotions start to grow. It starts to become more romantic. And he asks me, like, hey, do you want to take this to the next level? Now, me being the mental body with no emotional body, like, my mind immediately goes logical. And the wounding that's there that I don't know is there, like, activates. And so I'm just like, oh, no, you know, you're cool and all, but I don't really do the long distance thing. I'm just going to run now. I didn't say that. But that's how I reacted. Like, I literally ghosted and ran, which is terrible. Please never do that to anyone. I don't care who they are or what they've done to you. Ghosting is terrible. And I feel so bad that I ever did that to my twin soul. I did express that to him, but I think he still holds it against me, which is fine. So that sort of shifted our relationship. It hurt him very deeply. And it kind of, became kind of jaded, particularly towards me and towards love and towards, like, you know, more the positive stuff in life, sadly, which is something I know a lot of us experience sometimes. We have these experiences that hurt us deeply, and then we just become jaded. Human response. So since that point, we haven't really been able to connect in the same way. And it was always like something got in the way or something was interfering, whether he was married or I was married, or he was in a relationship or I was in a relationship, or, you know.
Or you put up walls between each other.
Yes, or we put up walls. Like, he put up a very high wall after that, like this deep wall, and everything after that was mostly superficial, or if it was like lustful. Like, we did get back to that lust phase, but it wasn't any deeper than that. Like, he wouldn't let me in deeper than that. It was just always very superficial, you know, no surface level stuff. So because of that, we haven't really been able to reach merge, which obviously is going to be an issue if you're trying to merge and you're trying to reach union, particularly physical union. That's not going to happen if you've got walls up between each other. And he has for many, many years, and we just haven't gotten anywhere. So in that time, I've sort of taken on this journey upon myself to just continue to heal myself. Maybe me healing will shift him in some kind of way. I uprooted my life. I changed everything around. I didn't for a while because I was sort of under the impression that, you know, he's chosen what he's chosen. I can't change him. I'm going to go be with someone else too. But the universe pushed me out of that. And I redirected my energy, redirected my focus back towards myself and towards trying to see if we could come together in some kind of way. So while this is going on, I make this move over here to another country. I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to, you know, align to my soul purpose and achieve some of my goals that I have with business and, you know, socializing and that kind of thing. And I get to this place where I'm starting to get, like, tired, exhausted, feeling burdened, feeling like I don't want to socialize, feeling depressed. Essentially felt like I was getting depressed, and I didn't know why. I'm like, I'm in this new place. Like, I'm, you know, I'm trying to achieve my goals. I'm being active with my business, working hard. Like, why am I feeling so low? Didn't really make any sense. Now, interesting tidbit, throughout this process, my spirit guides have changed a couple times for various reasons. That's not unusual if you're on a spiritual journey or if you know of your spiritual guides. It's not unusual for them to change as you reach different milestones in your life or different phases of your life, because they seem to specialize in different things depending on, you know, who they are. So something like that happened to me. There was other factors involved, but I did have this process where my spirit guides changed when I first was on this, well, I wouldn't say first, but once I really started to dive into the scandal with my soul and the split and everything, my soul, Soul B, if you listen to the Rejection Moon episode, and if you didn't, you should go listen to it. She did not trust her spirit guides, and there was no relationship there between her and the spirit guides, like, at all. Like, she hated them, they hated her. And it's so funny because when I was trying to unravel all this, like, why is this hatred here with the spirit guides? I was confused because I was like, this shouldn't be like this. This isn't right. So I had to distance myself from my soul and then go to the spirit guides and say, hey, can we fix this some kind of way? Like, this is crazy. Like, she's saying that you guys make her feel like shit. I don't know why that's the case, but this can't stay this way. So can we fix this some kind of way? So I started working on rebuilding the relationship with the spirit guides from scratch, which was a freaking process. But anyway, we got there. Spirit guides changed a little bit. The new set of spirit guides that I had seems to be MIA, like missing in action. Like, I'm over here killing myself and my spirit guides are nowhere to be found. So I was just like, oh, well, I guess I'll just figure it out on my own. You know, that's what I've done most of my life, it feels like, figured it out on my own. So I do that and I'm not getting any better. And I've had in this incarnation and in many prior lifetimes, health issues, like mostly cardiovascular, stress-related health issues tied to the heart chakra. And in many of those other lifetimes, those health issues have killed me. So one of, I don't know. I don't even know what a guide pointed this out to me, and it really helped me shift my perspective in regards to what it means to be a split soul and how it could potentially affect you. Now, when you're on a journey like this and you feel like you're not getting support from your spirit guides or you feel like they're not around, you start to have questions. I know I started to have questions. I mean, you know, when I started this process, my soul hated her spirit guides. So I'm just like, well, why? Why is this like this? Is there something I'm missing? I clearly am missing something here. So with so many unknowns, I became afraid, right? And I became not afraid. It was like sheer terror. Like, dang, if this is what it's like, you know, does the rest of the universe have my best and highest? I don't know. It just seems like everywhere I turn, something bad is happening or there's some type of block or my spirit guides aren't there to support me. Now, this is just the surface, because when it comes to like some of that neglect and sabotage, a lot of it also came from members of my soul family. Now, I know Allie has talked about soul family, her soul family, a couple times on this podcast, and how essentially when you're in a soul family, the whole purpose is that you support each other and you help each other heal and evolve. Now, that's never been the case in my soul family. As a matter of fact, it's always been the opposite. It seems like everyone is just trying to destroy each other or like backstab or betray or throw others under the bus or deceive or one up or manipulate. And I didn't really recognize this until some of the stories started to come out. And then I started to see some of the patterns, particularly with one member of my soul family with whom I incarnated. And gosh, I don't know how many timelines that would have. I think maybe hundreds of timelines. And in all of our incarnations, it's always been destructive, or like it was always sabotage, or there was harm that we were doing to each other. So that comes out and I'm just like, okay, so not only do I have this strange relationship with my guides, but members of my soul family are also fucking each other over, fucking me over. Okay, is this what it's supposed to be like? So again, I have questions and I'm just like, I don't, nothing makes sense. This must be some type of grand scheme against our incarnates. I don't know why. So when you have that kind of mindset and sentiment, yeah, the universe is freaking terrifying, especially because you don't know why these things are happening. You don't know why the sabotage is there. You don't know why there's disruption in the soul family is there. You don't know why they're all after you or seem to be. So it was just a lot of unknowns, and a lot of that, including some of the sentiment from my original soul, who I can't tell if she was scared of them or just intimidated, or I don't know, or if she was feeding that stuff to me.
I think she was just a master manipulator.
Yes.
And she knew what she was doing. So you really can't sit, like, you really can't pinpoint whether or not she was actually afraid. I don't think she was afraid. If she was afraid, I don't think she would have done half the shit that she did.
Right. So she's talking about my original soul. She, it turns out, has been, again, she's put all this into motion thousands of years ago. She has been sabotaging all my incarnations, trying to prevent merge, trying to prevent union for her own selfish gains and selfish reasons. And when you are a split soul, you still have a connection to the original soul before split. And it's kind of similar to the connection you might have with the higher self. Like, the higher self has influence over you and your incarnation. And she had that over us. Not just me, but also my twin soul. And the sentiments we would get were like, don't trust them. They're out to harm you. You know, they don't have your best and highest. No one does. You can't trust anyone. Like, they're all liars. They're all against me. And that's the sentiment that we have been getting for thousands and thousands of years from this entity. Crazy thing is that when you get sentiments like that and you're connected to a soul like that in the way that we are, that stuff resonates and it makes sense and it feels right because it's your soul, right? Your soul is telling you this. And it's hard to just disregard your soul and what the soul is telling you, because on spiritual journeys like this, you're told, oh, you need to align with your soul and you need to listen to your soul, and your soul has your best, you know, best and highest, and you should build that connection to your soul. Love your soul. Your soul wants what's best for you. So I believe that. I believe that. And I go back and forth on whether I should have or not, or if it was just really strange, unique circumstance here where I shouldn't have. I don't quite know. But ultimately, all of that ended up being manipulative and sabotaging toward myself and my spiritual journey. So a lot of that sentiment, that fear that she was, you know, striking within me, is some of the reason why I feel the way I do in regards to, you know, afraid of the universe, because there's still a lot of uncertainty in regards to how much truth is there. I'm still unraveling that. I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, because she's manipulated for so long. But I will probably have to say much of that sentiment probably came from her. The rest of it is just me trying to figure it out. I hope that makes sense.
It's a lot to process just hearing, because anyone who is into spirituality, I think the idea of spirituality is to connect with your true self. But when you have a soul that is so traumatized and carrying all these sentiments and has had a very rough journey, if you're the incarnate, it's really hard to navigate that, because you're kind of put in a position where you want to ascend and you want to be your, you know, best and highest, but you have all of these internal things, your intuition, right, is telling you this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And it becomes very conflictive, and it becomes an internal battle and an internal struggle. And it's been heartbreaking to see TR go through this journey, because there's just every time we took a step forward, it was like two or three steps backwards. And I don't really know. I don't really know how she's getting through it, truthfully. Like, I mean, it makes my brain hurt. But I'm not the one living the journey at the end of the day. It's not me who's living the journey. It's something that she's going to have to face. And that's hard and it's scary because it is completely the unknown. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. And when you put in all this effort to become your best and highest, and every roadblock and every block or someone's trying to steer you the other direction, you have to kind of take a step back and be like, why am I doing this? What am I doing this for?
Exactly. And I've had those thoughts many, many times about why I'm doing this. What purpose does it serve? Is this a waste? Should I just quit? I navigate through a lot of those thoughts, which, you know, in this type of situation, it's I feel like that would be a natural response, right? Like you're still trying to make sense of this. You're still trying to make sense of what's happening to you and get some sense of understanding around it. And you struggle with that. And so it's just like, well, what's the point? You know, with that said, I haven't quit. I haven't quit yet. And I'm still unraveling a lot of this. We're still unraveling a lot of this stuff. But it does get discouraging at times. And it has many, many times. And I honestly don't know how I'm still here. Some part of me feels like I still need to be here. So I am. But it is not easy. And I'm hoping I can get to a place where I can navigate through the fears and get understanding and clarity. I will say that since all this stuff has come out and since I know what's the reason for all the sabotage, that it's not the universe. Well, I guess depending on how you look at it, because she worked with a lot of entities out there against my best and highest good. So, but I guess more or less what I mean is it's not necessarily the way it's supposed to be, right? Like processes are not supposed to be like this. So since I know that now, and since I know who's the perpetrator, I have less fear. And I was telling Ali yesterday that my fear has gone from sheer terror to fear. And I'm hoping from there it'll go down to slightly less fear.
It's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. Now, is the fear justified? That I don't know yet, and I'm still unraveling. But it seems like since I know what her intentions were on the outset, it doesn't look like it was. Just from what I know so far. But again, I'm still unraveling what that means to me.
And it's going to mean different things to different people, you know, especially her twin soul, who, I mean, he has his sentiments about it. And I mean, it's a really difficult journey. It's a difficult enough journey for one person. Now let's add in a whole other person.
Yes. And the crazy thing about it is a lot of it, because he checked out a long time ago. So a lot of all this stuff when it comes to the story and the sabotage and unraveling the scheme has been something I've had to process and make sense of on my own, which has also been hard because it's felt like a really big burden on just one aspect of the soul. So I am working with him to try to see if he can open up now that he knows what's really going on. I think we can get to a place where we can come together and make sense of it together as a team, as opposed to just me trying to make sense of it mentally in my own head and freaking out about it, which is mostly what I've been doing.
Well, you haven't been doing it completely alone. I've been a huge support system to Tiara through all this.
Ali absolutely has been. It's just when it comes to our soul mission, it's not Allie's soul mission to help me merge. It's me and my twin soul. It's our soul mission. And there's just a part of me that feels like I've been carrying much of that mission because he's been absent. And that's been a lot. So, you know, I hate that Allie's gotten wrapped up in this in the way that she has, because it does draw off a lot of her energy. And, you know, I wish I could change it, and I wish I could take it all on myself, but it's not something I should probably be doing. I have that tendency, you know, the person I am wants to do it myself and don't want to be a burden to anyone else. But unfortunately, I can't do that this time around. So Allie has been wonderful, wonderful support in the absence of my split soul. And I don't know that I'd be here if it wasn't for her.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. It has been, I have really, I don't want to say that I've overcompensated, but I have been a huge piece in her life because her twin soul has been so absent. Like, it really should have been the two of them. Like, they both had the abilities, if they would have joined together, to figure out a lot of the stuff that her and I have figured out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because he was absent, I really had to like pick up the slack, and I had to use my abilities to look through like deception, lies, everything that really involves spiritual warfare, which unfortunately, guys, it's a thing. We're going to talk about it in our next episode. We're just going to kind of highlight a couple things about spiritual warfare. It's dark, but it's real. It's reality. And as much as we don't want to deter anyone, like I said, like, we use our platform to bring awareness. And I've said it multiple times, this journey is not all love and light. There's a lot of darkness.
Well, and depending on who you talk to, I guess you could say that my journey is essentially one of spiritual warfare. It's, in essence, a war against my ascension, right? Which, again, depending on how you look at it, is ultimately what it means when we're talking about spiritual warfare. It's the dark and versus the light. It's ascension versus, you know, the status quo. So in some ways, I do view my journey as a big spiritual war.
Oh, it absolutely has. And that's why we wanted to talk about it in this episode before we got into spiritual warfare, because I think Tiara's story and her experiences is a very good example of what the darkness can do and the powers of persuasion that they have and the deception that they bring upon the masses, let alone individuals.
Yep.
And I mean, it's a tough time to be alive right now, but it's also a very interesting time to be alive. I don't want to say that it's a beautiful time to be alive, but it's definitely interesting depending on your perspective. But there is a lot of this. I mean, we channel, we talk to these beings about ascension and how it's going, and they're always going to be hopeful. But I mean, realistically, they're just like, yeah, it could be going better.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but like, the dark aspects on our planet are, they're clever and they're conniving and they're sneaky, and they have this way of deceiving us in a manner that we do not see. And I think that that was the same situation for myself and my soul and my prior incarnates, is that we were being manipulated and we did not see it at all. We had faith and trust in the process. I'm going to assume my prior incarnations did. The souls, that's a different thing. But I know for a fact that some of the other incarnations really, really tried hard and, you know, didn't quite get anywhere. So it's hard when you believe in a process and you try and, you know, you get nowhere. And I feel like there's a lot of that sentiment in the collective right now, especially the people who are struggling financially, or, you know, maybe they can't find a job. Maybe they've lost faith in the job markets. They can't afford to have children. They can't afford to buy homes. They're drowning in debt. They become disillusioned. I yes. don't know that any of my prior incarnations have become disillusioned in the process. I think they have, which wouldn't surprise me. But I tried not to let myself get to that. I came close many, many, many times. But something always kind of just, I don't know, nudged me back. I think Allie has played a big role in that. The Archangels have played a very big role in that, to keep me from getting fully disillusioned. My split soul probably has gotten to that point, at least, or close to it. I'm working with him, but don't let yourself get disillusioned with the process.
It's very hard to come back once you do.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And I think that my original soul was completely disillusioned.
Among other things.
Yes, among other things. Once you become disillusioned, though, you become a person with nothing to lose, and that becomes dangerous.
It absolutely does. And this story is... I'm going to assume that the majority of souls out there are not involved in something like this, have not experienced stuff like this. So when you hear this story, like, I don't want you to freak out and think, oh my God, like, what has my soul done to me, and start spiraling down that, because you will not know unless you are able to channel, or unless you are able to do something like QHHT, or if you can get into the Akashic Records. Like, I don't want people to hear this story and start spiraling and think like, oh, are the things going wrong in my life because of soul sabotage? Like, that's not our intention. We don't want you guys to go down that rabbit hole. I don't know everyone's story out there. But I'm going to assume that it's nothing to this degree, nothing to this level. But what makes the story so unique is how long it's been going on for. And it really does show what the darker sides of this journey are capable of, like the darker entities. Yeah. And
yes,
that's just really what we're highlighting here.
Now, with that said, if you feel like your soul or higher self doesn't have your best and highest, or you're suspecting something's off or something's wrong, or your spirit guides are telling you things that you know aren't right, that should be explored too. Like, don't just accept that. You can do the same things that Ali suggested, like get QHHT or talk to someone who can do channeling or QHT to find answers. So if you feel like you're experiencing something similar to what I might be experiencing, definitely explore it if that's where you're being called. So I just wanted to add that little tidbit in there, that that's still a possibility. I will add that I have been guided by the Archangels and Allie to explore, oh my God, oh, and my higher self, once I was able to, you know, kick her enough, to explore psychedelics. Now, that comes with a disclaimer, because I think that when we think of psychedelics, we think of like raves and parties and tripping out, which, yeah, that's a big part of psychedelics. But there's another aspect of psychedelics that involves very deep inner exploration and opening you up and shutting down the ego so that you can get to that and get answers. So I'm going to explore that avenue too, just because I feel like some of the deeper healing work that I've needed has been stifled, or I don't know, like I for some reason I haven't been able to reach that. So I'm going to actually start with microdosing, which I'm going to be honest with you. The whole idea of illicit drugs for this purpose is strange to me. It's
freaked her out.
Freaks me the fuck out.
This has been going. This has been a few years of conversation.
Oh my God. Like the whole idea is just crazy. And like the whole ayahuasca thing, like, hey, if you do ayahuasca and that works for you, more power to you. But that sounds absolutely unpleasant. So I'm going to try microdosing first with a specialist, see where that goes. And hey, maybe I'll go into like the more powerful stuff. I was thinking maybe like MDMA or not MDMA, the God molecule.
DMT.
DMT. Thank you. 5-MeO-DMT. That's the one I'm particularly interested in because it seems to have had a lot of not only research, but a lot of people that have said incredible things about it, which is why it's called the God molecule. So I am curious about that, and I'll probably explore a little bit of that too. So if I do, I will do a podcast episode for you guys and tell you all about it. That's my promise to you.
So what I was going to say prior is that I've seen spiritual TikToks where channelers will talk about some of their clients and they will talk about how their clients don't necessarily agree with their spirit guides or they don't like their spirit guides. So it's not completely uncommon, like what Tiara is experiencing. Like I've seen spiritual TikToks where channelers are talking about their clients and the incarnates say, well, my spirit guide forced me to reincarnate. I didn't want to be here and I fought my spirit guide, but she forced me to reincarnate. And that caused a lot of friction. And so she sought out the channeler to say, hey, I want that person off my spirit team. Give me someone else. And it's not, that's just one example. There are plenty of examples where people are kind of dialed in or plugged in and, you know, their intuition is strong and, you know, they're seeing that things aren't adding up. And so they take that feeling and that instinct and they run with it and they go down the rabbit hole and they uncover some pleasant things and some unpleasant things. So really, like, your intuition, for most cases, maybe not in Tiara's case, but in most cases, like, your intuition knows. Your intuition is strong. Your intuition can communicate with you. And really, you want to run with that because if you seek out someone else for help, I mean, obviously, they're a great resource. But at the end of the day, I mean, you don't know if that person really knows what they're talking about. It's going to be your intuition that's going to be validating that when you talk to a channeler saying, you know what, that makes sense, or that feels right, or, huh, I never knew, but I see where you're going there.
Hmm.
If you don't have that, then someone's just telling you about your life and you're just like, oh, okay, I don't know if that's true or not.
So essentially, that in a nutshell is why I'm afraid of the universe. Again, you know, I'm not deathly terrified like I was, especially not these days. But for a while there, yeah, I was absolutely mortified.
I don't know if Tiara will be sticking up for herself anytime soon, but, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction.
Sticking up for myself, how?
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of things that you've been wanting to say to certain beings or the universe, but you've just kept to yourself because you've been terrified.
Oh. There's a little bit of that. But if I ever get the courage to say anything, I'll let you guys know. And I'll let you guys know what I said.
So I hope you were able to extract something from this story. It's a unique story. It's an interesting story. It's probably not a story you're going to hear other people talking about.
Right. No, this is absolutely a very unique situation. And please heed Allie, like, don't start freaking out or going down a dark rabbit hole because of my story. My story is exceptionally rare. However, if you do have concerns and questions or something feels off, you can reach out to myself or you can even reach out to Allie and we can try to help you unravel it.
That is what we are here for. And this is also why we're starting a community, because we just feel like, I don't want to put down other spiritual teachers or other life coaches, but the work that we do is very unique with the soul. And so, like, we just go down a very different path in spirituality.
Mm-hmm. And it's a path that most don't traverse, to be honest.
Correct. So that's kind of why, like, it's what makes us unique. We love doing it. And, you know, if we resonate with you, then, I mean, like, we've said it before, we'll say it again. We're looking for our soul tribe.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that we can build a soul tribe over time with the community that we're working on. And we'll be able to talk about stuff like this in there, you know? And it'll be very unique and unusual conversations because, again, we're traversing a very special, rare path. So that's what's going to make the community so unique and so amazing.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Our next episode, we are going to be talking about spiritual warfare, and let's see where this conversation goes because I have no idea.
We really never have any idea. We, again, like I said in another episode, we usually just turn on the mic and talk and then it turns out fantastic. So we're going to keep doing that because if it isn't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. I love that quote.
I know. It's one of my favorites.
So thank you everyone again, and we will catch you next week.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.